Good evening and welcome to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District Board of Directors meeting for Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy? Shells?
Here.
Chairman Hill?
Here. Item 2 on the agenda is public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda this evening. We would request that you limit comments to 3 minutes, please, if possible. And that would be for items, again, that are not on the agenda this evening. For those items that are on the agenda this evening, we'll have a comment period associated with each item that is on the agenda. So would anyone like to address the board at this time? Ms. Peterson.
Debbie Peterson. I live in Grover Beach. And just one small question, and that is if there's any idea of when the Knudsen report would be agendized?
Thank you. My understanding is next meeting. Is that still the schedule?
I spoke with Mr. Knudsen yesterday, and he said 2 weeks. He'd have it completed in 2 weeks. So that could be on the next meeting, and definitely if not on the first meeting in. You gave me a date, time frame of 2 weeks to completion.
Thank you. Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker. And what's not on your agenda is something that you took off of your agenda last meeting. And I just wanted to kind of encapsulate what happened there and my disappointment with the report out of closed session later that evening. As you recall, on your agenda was a discussion to put a settlement discussion on a future agenda for discussion. That came off, and so you didn't have a discussion about having it on a future agenda, whether it be a closed session or an open session item, would have been appropriate to make that choice. But you chose not to and went to closed session. And when you came back, there was no reportable action. So that leaves those of us who were not in the room to believe that no settlement discussion took place. And we'll talk about it later in your agenda, but your legal bills are ramping up associated with that lawsuit. And I don't know how many times I've said it before, but I'll say it every single opportunity I get. This district needs to get out of the litigation business. You will not win. You just adopted a rate structure that includes a $1.1 million fine to be paid for by your ratepayers. The state's going to look at that. The regional board, if you do get back to a hearing, they're going to look at that and say, look, you can afford it. So, and that was the argument when you had a hearing, was that you couldn't afford it. You had enterprise funds, and there was just no way to pay. That was the argument that your lawyers at the time made to the regional board, that you couldn't afford to pay that fine. Now you can. That argument can't be used again. So I have great concern about the ongoing cost of litigation, where it puts you in the future. We've got work to do. Get out of the litigation business.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board?
Hi. I am a ratepayer in Arroyo Grande. And I could not attend the last meeting, but I watched on slow span. I was greatly disappointed that we're picking up a $1 million fine and yet litigation continues. Not right. I don't like it. I don't think you guys are considering your constituents here and the people who pay the fees. And I think it's time you wake up and start hearing us. You know, stop the litigation. Enough is enough. The other thing that I have a concern about is if El Nino comes in with the force that a lot of people in the business are saying it's going to, is Oceano going to be inundated with feces in their streets again. Can this sewer plant really take that much water? And the reason I say that is we have about 4 years left to get this redundancy plan in place. If we would stop these lawsuits, maybe we could have a redundancy plan. I don't mind paying for a redundancy plan. I don't like attorneys, no offense. But, you know, enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the other business items on the consent agenda this evening. We have...
Chair, may I? I just wanted to clarify, this board took an action to send the rate study and have it come back in January, but nothing has been adopted to date. So there is an opportunity for folks to protest that, and that is an open session item. And yet again, closed session items, we talked about this last time, there are legal implications, and we are trying to make sure that we do not expose us to even more litigation. So I want to make sure for anyone in the audience, anyone at home, that we clarify that no rate structure has been adopted. Yes, that number was presented to us, but it has not been officially adopted. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Moving on then to the consent agenda, we have the minutes of October 21st and the warrants. Questions from the board? Questions, Mary?
Yeah, I have a couple comments on the 10:21 minutes. First of all, I'm not quite sure that the public speakers, if their names are spelled correctly. I'm not sure if that's how Ms. Spencer spells her last name or not, if you could check on that. And then I was wondering if there was some way we could do some consistency. We jumped from chairman to director, and we call like Director Hill, then Chairman Hill, and then we go to Chairman Scholes, and then we go to Director Lucy. So if we could just maybe pick a name, title, any of them will be fine. That was all I had on the minutes. It was just a little confusing. And also, too, is on the motion. Who was the second on that? On the temporary billing agreement. Oh, Mr. Hill, I'm sorry. For purpose of discussion, and that carried over to the actual motion, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any comments from the public on the consent agenda items, either the minutes or the warrants?
Julie Tacker, and my concerns are with the warrants. It's nice to see the Brownstein number is down. I credit Mr. Clemens for that. Smoother waters. I have a concern, and I'd like an explanation with the Downey Brand. As you'll recall, Downey Brand was barely charging anything, like $1,500 a month or even longer duration. Now they want $11,617.80, which includes a retainer. How much is the retainer? What's it for? What's the direction that the Downey Brown firm is going in? As I said before, I'd like to be out of the litigation business. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. I don't know. Can counsel provide any enlightenment on that?
I have not talked to Melissa Thorm about her specific bill, but I believe that her numbers are up because she is filing an amended complaint. And so she has started to work once again on the litigation, and they are finalizing the some of the documents to go further into the litigation. So I think it's just because there has been more work, the procedure of the cases has gone forward to the point where they need to be more involved.
Thank you very much.
I just had one more change. Amy, it's 2-1, not 2-0 on the vote for the action item. It says yes, Schulz, yes, Hill, no, Lucy. But it's approved 2-1. I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Let me ask again if there's any other comment that's on the consent items, either the warrants or the minutes.
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach, and I was concerned at the level of attorney fees again, and I've reached the stage now where I wonder if it's ever going to change. Are we going to continue to spend 20, 25, 30% of our warrants on legal fees, and I'm hoping at some point the board will find their way out of this mess.
Thank you. Any other comment? Ms. Price.
Patricia Price, Aurora Grande. I'm concerned about they're updating a complaint they're changing a complaint. It's like I'm not understanding who's complaining. Are we complaining because we're getting fined? Are we still fighting the fine? Are we negotiating what the fines? I really would like to know. I've been coming to these meetings for 2 or 3 years now. Haven't missed hardly any of them. And this has not changed since I started coming to these meetings. There's no comment after closed session. Nothing seems to be settled. We're redoing a complaint. I'd like to know what we're complaining about and when we're going to stop complaining, pay the fine, and get over this thing. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what's going on in closed session, but I would like to have some insight as to where we are on this. It doesn't look like we're going to beat it. We're just paying more and more legal fees, and I personally am really tired of it. I'm tired of it not being resolved. Thank you.
Thank you.
She brings up an interesting point about the amended, I believe is what the attorney said, the amended claim. At one point, Chairman Hill had mentioned that Mike Seitz had not proposed stopping the lawsuit correctly.
Let me stop you for just a moment. This is about the warrants and the minutes that are on the agenda. Your comment may more appropriately be before the closed session about litigation.
Okay, I'll wait.
Any other comment on the warrants and the minutes?
Good evening. My name is April McLaughlin. I would request that the fact that the district uses a payroll service be provided on the warrants so that we could actually see that expense. It's being hidden in the payroll report. And I think that that's a valid request because you pay a vendor to do a service for you. I think that should be more transparent. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we provide that information in the future? Is that paid through our?
We use a vendor. It's Paychecks. From the time I've been here, we've always used that. A vendor. It wasn't Paychecks at first, but I don't anticipate a problem showing that we use a vendor and what they charge us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's a valid comment.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Any other comment on the warrants or the minutes? Okay, hearing none. Director Lucy, I think you wanted to make a motion.
I move that we accept the consent agenda items.
And is that with her recommended amendments to the minutes?
Correct. With the recommended adjustments.
I'll second that.
Okay, It's been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes as amended and the warrants. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Passes 3-0. Moving on then to the plant superintendent's report. Superintendent Clemens.
Good evening, Chairman Hill and the board, honorable board. We usually start in operations. Operations is going really, really well. We've hit a kind of another groove thing where all our numbers seem to be coming out well. You know, it feels like we're back to normal is what it does. You look at the numbers, they're either, almost all the numbers are either consistent with or better than our averages for last year. And so at this point, I can just report that the plant is running well, and this is what we consider our norm. So, with regard to maintenance, we've installed a pH and conductivity meter at the headworks. Purpose of this is so that we can monitor characteristics in the incoming water and see if, you know, if there are any changes, and we need to check some upstream places, then it gives us a chance. It's pre-treatment is the term in the business, but it gives us a chance to monitor water, and if there's something strange coming into the plant, it'll help us track it back to its source. We replaced leaking holes in our number one auger. We filled the sludge mixing pump with oil. Reprogrammed the influent pump. Changed holes on the back of chlorine pump. Replaced several pump pressure gauges. I installed pipe storage racks outside the maintenance building, performed 5 manhole inspections, and did a number of work orders. Projects in progress. Garen Taylor Associates are still working with us on the AG Sewer Bridge. We're waiting for an assessment from the firm that did an assessment of the pipe. MK Engineers has produced an RFP for a grit removal system. Staff is currently reviewing the RFP in preparation for sending it out. We began planning for a mechanical bar screen in the headworks. We're moving slowly on that. And our secondary process redundancy project, with regard to permitting, staff, our contractors have made contact with the Coastal Commission again and with the county. With regard to the Coastal Commission, we've submitted a project plan. When we first contacted them, of course, it was just a conversation. Now it's gotten to a point where we've submitted a project plan so that they can give us a, you know, specific issues that they may have or things that we may need to take care of. That will be covered more in our next board meeting. Mr. Nunley with MKA and Mr. Rickenbach will both be here to cover those issues. So we're moving along with that. We'll be able to have a lot of we'll be able to have a lot more questions answered at the next meeting. With the satellite water resources recovery facility, we're working into the feasibility study. We're at the investment analysis portion. We will have a presentation by Dan Hamill a little bit later in our meeting. With regard to training, staff attended training sessions on our district emergency operational procedure, where we need to be, what responsibilities each and everyone has. We also attended a safety meeting on pneumatic tool safety, and our bookkeeper, Amy Simpson, attended the CalPERS 2015 annual forum. That completes my report. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions the board may have.
No questions, but nice report, John.
Director Lucy.
John, since you're wearing so many hats, who do you go to when you need help?
It depends on what I need help with. If it's legal, of course, it's Ms. Schoeff right here. And if it's engineering, it depends on the issue. If it's a structural, it would be Gehring. If it's if we have environmental engineering, of course, I would call Ms. Sweeney. And with our current projects, of course, I'm in contact with Mr. Nunley or with Nunley and Associates on a constant basis. With regard to personnel, human resources, if I have an issue, then I'll call Ms. Alicia Laura, and we'll talk about those issues.
So. Okay. Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Good to hear that everything's moving smoothly and running with good numbers. So that's the way we like it. Thank you very much for achieving that. Comments from the public on the report? Okay, hearing none, receive and file. Thank you very much. Item 5, action on individual items. First is 5A, consideration of contract with permanent district legal counsel.
Okay, and
Lieutenant Clemens.
Yes, sir. In this item, staff recommends that the board authorize the acting district administrator to execute a contract with Stockton and Trio to act as legal counsel for the district. Ms. Stockton and Mr. Trio are both here tonight. If the board would like to ask any questions. It's a matter of background. Longtime district counsel Mike Seitz resigned effective June 3rd at the June 3rd meeting. Board engaged services of Brownstein, Hyatt, Faber, and Schreck to perform services of interim district counsel. In addition, the board directed an RFP to be prepared to engage permanent counsel. The board approved the RFP for district counsel on June 17th at the June 17th board meeting. The RFPs were issued on June 19th. The deadline to receive proposals was set at August 14th. Six proposals were received. After reviewing the proposals and conducting interviews and checking references, the board has decided to engage Stockton and Trio to act as legal counsel. I guess that completes it. We've worked up a contract that our current counsel was fine with, and we sent it to Trio and Stockton, and they reviewed it, and both sides are very comfortable with the contract that we have. We're not obviously haven't signed it yet. And our and staff recommendation is that the board would authorize the district administrator to sign a contract and engage the services of Stockton and Trujillo.
Questions from the board?
Thank you, Chair Hill. I'm just wondering, is staff at liberty to discuss details of the contract, or is that something that cannot be disclosed until after a vote?
The contract itself is privileged. But we can discuss some details as long as I think that they should, that Wendy and Gail should also feel comfortable with that. But
well, I think it would be good. I got a staff report that talks about a contract. I got folks in the audience who have been asking questions. So, to the extent that we can share some information, I think would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that and ask. That we share as much of the details as possible.
Please do share. You know, because some of us are feeling like you want us to blindly endorse something here. So, you know, share something.
So Mr. Trujillo and Ms. Stockton are here, I see.
Yeah, I will... I'll say one thing to the board and then turn it over to Wendy and Gil to introduce themselves. But it does follow the proposals that were... So the contract tracks the proposal that was received by the district.
That's a very important point.
Good evening, Mr. Chair. I'm Gil Trujillo, and this is Wendy Stockton. And we certainly have no problems with releasing any details of the report. You're free... to discuss all the terms of it. We want to thank the board for your confidence in us, and we certainly look forward to serving the board and serving staff. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we very much appreciate your interest in helping us.
And you have a little bit of background in small districts?
Well, combined, we have over 50 years of experience representing public entities, mostly large entities, but the issues are all pretty much the same. So we're experts in Public Records Act and conflict of interest laws and public contracting. Wendy, anything you care to add?
Do you have a guesstimate about how many hours you foresee putting in as you see people have voiced concerns regarding our line items for legal counsel? And so I was wondering if you'd thought about what the amount of hours that you think will go into this district, and knowing the projects that, you know, the very ambitious agenda that we have.
Yes, we're anticipating part-time, so less than 20 hours a week combined. Of course, that's up to the board and how much workload you have to distribute to us. And I understand you're fairly busy right now.
Okay. Is that about what we do now, 20 hours a week in legal?
I think it's probably slightly less than that. It's around, I want to say it's around 40 hours a month. So it just depends on weeks where there are meetings. Are generally, that's a much heavier week because there's a lot more going on that needs legal review and legal help. So.
John, any questions?
Well, I'm just still... I guess I'm going to deduce that that's as much as you all are comfortable sharing, and legal counsel. I mean, number of hours a week is great, but I think it'd be nice to give people a sense of, I mean, obviously your hourly rate is going to be is less than what we're paying now. I think that's, and I'm trying to be very careful about how I go forward, but I do.
I'd ask Jenna if she'd just go through the terms of the contract and hit all the major highlights for you.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be great.
Thank you, Mr.
This is like volunteering.
Ms. Stockton.
And I do speak, and I just wanted to say thank you. It's an honor to be here tonight.
Thank you.
So I will try to hit the highlights right now. If I don't hit a highlight that you are looking for, let me know. Their hourly rate for legal services is $175 an hour. Gil Trujillo will serve as lead for district board meetings, and Wendy Stockton will serve as an alternate. And I believe that Wendy Stockton will serve as the lead for other services, sort of the day-to-day maintenance of district legal matters. Another item that is probably of interest is that Wendy Stockton and Gil Trujillo will not charge for travel time to and from the meetings. And I think those are the main high points. If there are any other questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you for sharing that, and thank you for agreeing to that.
Public comment on this item. Mr. Holt.
Yes, Ron Holt. I share with many of the speakers at the beginning of the meeting a concern over the lack of information about what's going on, especially regarding existing litigation. And part of that leads me to ask that if you decide to go with Trujillo and Stockton, which you apparently are leaning in that direction, that you make sure that they understand how serious an issue this is for the rest, for those of your constituents out here, that we get as much information as possible with wiggling around, trying to dodge. I understand there are limits, but I'd like to see those limits pushed as much as possible in getting information about what's going on for us. And the second thing is, part of the reason I think, I don't know for sure, but I think that we're in our legal mess is that a previous attorney, I have a feeling that he was a little bit too reluctant to challenge the previous board on certain things that were going on. And if I hope that these folks will also have the integrity when something is blatantly unethical, illegal, to say, no, I can't. We can't go along with that, and let you know that that's what the what the situation is. I understand they're under your direction. They've got to do what you tell them, but there should be some kind of a limit to that, and I hope that they will do that as well. Thank you.
I appreciate your comment. Thank you.
Julie Tacker, and I just have to say that I don't like how this process has gone on. I recall that you went with a good faith effort to have an RFP. It came back. You only had a few proposals, so you sent it again. And what's been unavailable to the public, I feel that it's Ms. Schoaf that is being reluctant to provide the details. After you sign the contract, you all are privy to the contract. You all are privy to the interviews. You've seen the proposal. You know, and you have the right to sole source. That's what your board has, that authority. But because we headed down this transparent path, and now it seems to have kind of taken a left turn, that's why I think you feel the frustration here. And we will look for the RFP or the proposal, and we will look for the contract when you've entered into it. We want to see that. I recall doing just a little Google search, and maybe you can respond. These people have some association with the city of Santa Maria. I don't know if it's current or past, but when Mr. Seitz left, he cited conflict within the groundwater basin, Santa Maria Valley groundwater basin. And if these people have anything to do with basin litigation in Santa Maria, I wonder if they feel the same conflict that Mr. Seitz has. It's just a question. And then what happens next? Mr. Holt referred to it a little bit as the litigation going forward. Are you going to retain the special counsel for the litigation with the water board? Because those guys bill at a higher rate. I'd love to be able to pay this rate for that. But I don't know if these people have the specialty that Ms. Thorne supposedly has. I'm not impressed with her work. But those are my comments, my concerns. I hope you can answer some questions.
Thank you.
Debbie Peterson, I live in Grover Beach, and for many years I have run my own companies and sat on boards, and I've observed that there's some really major differences between being on a public board and serving a public board than there are in being in business. And I've observed that very often when we have attorneys who are serving on public boards, they very often act as if they're serving for a private corporation. And so they operate in such a way as to protect the corporation. And what I'm hoping that we'll find with Ms. Stockton and Mr. Trujillo is that they are operating more in the spirit of understanding that the shareholders of this institution are the people who vote for the people who are running it. And the owners of this institution are the public. And you're here because they've elected you to be here. And so the people who are here to be protected are not those of you up here. They're not those of you who are running the shop. They are the members of the public who are voting you in and who are the institution. The institution is the public. It's the public who have put this district here. and they are the ones who are to be protected by the attorneys. They are the ones who the attorneys are working for. They are the ones who the laws are created to protect. I'd like to just read briefly from some case law that applies to this, and then I'll sum up. It is the case is San Diego Union versus City Council of San Diego, and it states that terms of compensation constitute municipal budgetary matters of substantial public interest, warranting open discussion and eventual electoral public ratification. They state, the court stated, that it's difficult to imagine a more critical time for public scrutiny of its governmental decision-making process than when it is determining how it shall spend public funds. With ever-increasing demands on public funds, which have dwindled so drastically, secrecy cannot be condoned in budgetary determinations. Other factors must be considered, such as available funds, funding priorities, relative compensation in other jurisdictions, and each of these considerations is of acute public interest. And I can tell you that this is something that came before the board when I served on the board. The question was, and I was caught out by it because we were relying on our attorney for the district. The question was, can we make a decision to hire someone without bringing the terms and conditions of that contract to the public first for review? And we did not bring those terms and conditions to the public first for review. I went to our city attorney in Grover Beach, and he said, of course you cannot do that. You can agree in closed session that you would like to put it out there for the public to approve and propose it to the public, bring that contract to the next meeting and have the public vote on it. But I think that it is entirely out of line for the board to make a decision to hire someone without any information for the public as to the terms and conditions of the contract. And I'm hoping that you would bring it back to all of us so that we have an opportunity to weigh in, bearing in mind that the shenanigans that went on for the past 10 years were carried out by a joint administrator and attorney. And this is more than ever a critical decision for you and for the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment?
One thing that was left out that I would like to see these attorneys do is if there's a conflict of interest among this group, call it out loud and clear. I'm also, like Ms. Peterson just said, they do represent us. We're tired of these lawsuits. These things need to end. We need a redundancy act. So I hope that they listen as well as all you guys listen, that we're tired of the lawsuits. Let's get down to some real business here. Let's stop paying these attorneys. And as I was stating earlier about Mike Seitz, glad that his term's almost over once we sign a contract with these people. I will openly say that. The statute of which I believe it was that Chairman Hill was talking about, that Mr. Seitz does not present correctly, I'm hoping that gets presented correctly and that we can end some of these lawsuits. There's been enough mucky muck going on. It's time to straighten up and fly right, please. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, hearing none. Board discussion.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hill. And I'm wondering if Mr. Trujillo would like to address the question of conflict of interest. It is something that we had asked. So,
good evening, Mr. Chairman and board members. That question was asked by the board during the interview process. We did look at the conflict question very carefully. We do have bar ethics rules that prevent us from representing clients with conflicts. We could not identify any existing conflict currently based on the operations of the district and City of Santa Maria and the groundwater litigation. If a contract does arise in the future, we are ethically obligated to identify it and then to resign as a solution.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think also want to clarify that legal counsel is here representing this district. They do not, their job is not to protect those of us on this board, because it's been, it's clear to us not only here but in the cities I represent that I have my own personal legal counsel. So I just want to make sure that we clarify that, and I didn't know if there was any other items mentioned in public comment that legal counsel felt or staff felt compelled to at least provide additional information.
I can just say a couple of things. As legal counsel for the district, our obligation is to protect the district itself as an entity. And in doing that, sometimes we have to recommend to the district that certain documents are not made public, and that is in the district's best interest in those situations.
Okay, and then I think my final comment, and I should have asked him while he was standing, I think someone had asked the question about, and I think Mr. Holt talked about this, was basically the attorney's role and a discussion, and if the board was acting in a manner that you felt was illegal or heading down a path, and wanted to get some reassurance that you, how you operate ethically and how you would respond in a situation like that.
Yes. Good evening. That question also was addressed by the board during the interview process, and the answer is very clear that we do have an ethical obligation to advise the board if you are doing something that we feel is in violation of the statutes or unlawful or unethical. We start as an open book as a public entity, and we try to offer as much transparency as we can. But as we all know, there is the closed session laws and the Brown Act, and we're required to operate with some amount of confidentiality, basically to not prejudice the board for your position in litigation or potential litigation. So it's a balancing act. It's not an easy balancing act, but it is something that we're very keenly aware of. Thank you.
Those are all of my questions and comments.
Director Lucy.
I just have this scenario that keeps popping into my mind. Okay, so say you have, we have a very active public participation. And so somebody gets on the phone, and they've now had you on the phone for an hour and a half. It's cost the district $400, and you having to listen to somebody who's unhappy with a decision that maybe this board has made and stuff. How do you kind of deal with those situations where, you get a request for 6,000 pages of public records? And then that leads me to, I know you have good storage for our sacred records.
Again, I'm not familiar with the inner workings of the district, but many times when you have contract counsel, such as what you're looking for, all requests for information, you sometimes are directed straight through the director. So the director controls, in a way, it's a way to keep attorney's fees under control.
Okay.
The director controls how much information is the attorneys are asked to look into, because, of course, if we're on the phone or researching an issue, that does take time. We're certainly happy to do it, but I think the ultimately it'd be up to the director to try to control those costs by saying we're not going to allow these type of calls, direct your calls to paid staff, and then we will get back to you. That's one way to control spiraling costs. And then your second question was on the Public Records Act, and unfortunately, I know it's difficult, but as a public entity, you almost have to just anticipate that many hours of your time a week are going to be addressing Public Records Act requests. It happens for not just this entity, not just Santa Maria or San Luis Obispo, every entity in the state. That's the law. And one thing that I think we can do is have a system in place so that there's a process in place that we respond to these records timely within the law, and provide the information that the public's entitled to under the law.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I sit down, any more questions?
No, we're going to wait for you to sit down. I'm done.
Okay, with that, I think the important questions, I think, John, you asked those, and I'm satisfied with the responses, so...
You're looking for a motion?
Look for a motion, yes.
Okay. So I'll move that we authorize the acting district administrator to execute a contract with Stockton and Trujillo to act as legal counsel for the district.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we proceed with a contract with Stockton and Trujillo as recommended. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Welcome aboard. Item 5B is consideration of consultant services contract for district administrator recruitment.
Yes, Board. In this item, staff recommends that the Board authorize the acting district administrator to execute a contract with CPS Human Resources Consulting to provide professional recruitment service for the position of district administrator. At the September 2nd district board meeting, the Board directed staff to develop a request for proposal and entertain proposals for an executive search firm to coordinate recruitment process for the hire of a district administrator. At the September 16th meeting, the district board meeting, the board approved the issuance of an RFP for an executive search firm to provide consultant services to coordinate the district administration recruitment and selection process. The board approved up to $30,000 from the recruitment fund to be used for the recruitment of a district administrator. The board further authorized Mr. Clemens, a district administrator, acting district administrator, and Ms. Laura from Laura Human Resources Service to review the proposal received by the district and recommend a top firm for the board. The majority of public sector agencies contract the service of executive search firms to recruit staff at the executive level. Professional firms are able to offer targeted outreach efforts and to individuals that might not otherwise apply for the position. The RFP was sent to 16 firms for their consideration. District staff received 4 proposals from highly qualified firms within the posted deadline for proposal submittals. Proposals were evaluated by myself and Mrs. Laura, based on the experience and qualifications of the firm, and specifically those designated staff within the firm proposed to be assigned to the recruitment for the district. So we looked really closely, not at the firm, not just at the firm, but at the personnel that would be assigned to our project. The firm's recent directly relevant recruitment experience with the agencies in the water and wastewater industry and the proposed approach to meeting the district needs and costs. Based on a review of the proposal, staff recommends entering into a contract with CPS at Human Resources Consulting. CPS stood out as a top top recommendation based on extensive successful recruitments for agencies similar to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. Also, a 2-year guarantee for the individual place with the district as district administrator and overall costs. Ms. Laura and I took a good long look at all the proposals, and CPS wasn't even close. They tended to be a lot better in our estimation and other opportunities. At this time, since Alicia was a big part of it, I'd like to give you an opportunity to speak if you had something.
Good evening, Chairman Hill and Board. I just wanted to add a few things about the process. We did telephone interviews, conference call interviews with the project managers of the firms that we had a strong interest in, and felt comfortable that CPS is well-known in the field for recruiting, among other things. They also do training. They have done extensive training with the California Special Districts Association that this district is a part of. And in that training, they provide professional development as well as financial information and retirement, things like that. Because of the professional development that they do, they have kind of a heads up over the other agencies, the other firms that provide this, because they have contact with the up-and-coming people in each area in special districts, and specifically in this case, water and wastewater. So they have a database of about 1,000 individuals that they know are active in the state of California that could, that possibly could be interested. So we felt very strongly that, that would be a benefit to this district, because as you may or may not be aware, right now recruiting is especially competitive, with so many retirements happening across the nation. They're trying to fill those slots with people that are up and coming and ready to take on a position like this. So we felt that they actually would meet the district's needs better. And as well, they also had a two-year guarantee, where the other firms that placed proposals had a one-year guarantee. So for 2 years, they will guarantee that that individual will at least stay seated for 2 years. If that doesn't happen, then they will do the recruitment for just the administrative expenses, meaning the hard costs and not their time, to re-recruit for us. And they're ready to go whenever the board is. So we would be working with legal counsel to make sure that that contract met the best needs of the agency. And I guess we're asking tonight for authorization for the acting district administrator to enter into that agreement.
I'm sorry, I had to step away from the table. I didn't get the amount. Was it disclosed while I was out?
Not yet.
Okay.
We don't have the contract executed yet because it has to go through legal. Their proposal total was, I believe, 17. Hang on just a second.
I have it. It was the professional flat fee was $17,000, and then another $5,000 to $6,000 for reimbursements, for a total of $23,000, not to exceed amount.
Okay. And then the board had authorized $30,000 for this process, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But they did commit to us that those figures would not increase.
Questions of staff, John?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hill. I think thanks for the thorough staff report. Alicia, what is the estimated length of time it's going to take to complete this process?
Well, they're looking to have the interviews in January. That's pretty tight deadline, especially given the holidays that we're going to be facing. People take time off with their families, and so it makes it more difficult to recruit. I would say that leaving it open at least 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks is optimum. Now, typically for an executive director for a little bit larger agency, sometimes it's not uncommon to leave it open 3 months, because by the time they see it, then they have the time to pull their resume and together and submit it. It's a long process, but 6 to 8 weeks, I would say 6 is very tight. I don't think that they're going to make those recommendations to you, but they would do that in your closed session when they go over the ideal candidate statement. And I have a lot of faith that they will assess what the needs are based on your ideal candidate statement and then recommend the time frame.
Very good. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Director Lucy?
No questions.
And you'll be available through this process to help us with HR related issues.
Yes, I'd be happy to.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for the staff report. Is there public comment on this item? Hearing none, we'll come back to the board. Look for a motion or discussion.
Arthur, I recommend that we authorize the acting district administrator to execute a contract with CPS HR Consulting to provide professional recruitment services for the position of district administrator.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion. Did I say I move? I move. Yes,
I understood that to be a motion. I will second your motion. So it's been moved and seconded that we engage CPS Consulting Services to provide the recruitment services. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Moving to item 5C is technical memorandum on investment analysis.
Okay, Honorable
Board.
Superintendent
Clemens.
In this item, staff recommends that the Board of Directors receive, review, and evaluate the file and file the technical memorandum investment analysis for the Satellite Water Resource Recovery Facilities Planning Study and direct staff as to next step. As a matter of background, in recent years, the South St. Louis Obispo County Sand District member agencies have recognized that water recycling will be necessary to meet future water demands. Additionally, member agency urban water management plans include recycled water as a component of their future water supply. The potential for recycling water within the SSLOCSD jurisdictional area has been studied in the past. Challenges to pursuing such options in the past have included large costs, location of the recycled water plant within the floodplain of the coast and the Coastal Commission jurisdiction, and the lack of nearby recycled water users. Recently, the concept of building a satellite treatment facility upstream of the existing treatment facility next to one of the existing district trunk lines has been considered as a way to address some of the challenges of previously recycled water ideas. In addition to a location outside of the Coastal Commission jurisdiction, minimize cost of distribution piping location and location outside of the coastal plain. The concept also provides favorable conditions for groundwater recharge and potential to meet treatment redundancy requirements or the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The project is conceptual at this time, but it generally anticipated that with 80% recovery, these projects would generate approximately 400 to 500 acre feet of water per year of water. The water recycling funding program offered through the State Water Resource Control Board provides a grant to assist public agencies in planning studies to determine the feasibility of recycled water. The grant covers 50% of those type of studies up to $75,000. SSLOCSD has been approved to receive a grant from the State Water Resources Recovery Facility Study Project. The district is the lead agency on the grant on behalf of the member agencies. In October 2014, the Sand District contracted, along with the City of Arroyo Grande, contracted with Water Systems Consulting to complete the recycled water facilities planning study for satellite facility. The cost of the study is approximately $150,000. The City of Arroyo Grande has agreed to pay $37,500, which is half the local match required. The district will pay $37,500 also, and then the state would pay $75,000 of the $150,000 that may be required for this study. The grant will pay for up to 50% of eligible costs. The district is working with the City of Arroyo Grande on this. Just to clarify everything I read, the idea is to place a satellite water recycling facility that would you'll see in the options Dan Hamlet's here to present it, but for either ground recharge or ag usage. In this study, it actually shows the cost if we choose to use the ag option or if we choose to go full advanced treatment. It gives us an option of two or three locations, was it, Dan? Three locations with the option for full treatment or ag treatment in the study. But all that will be covered by Dan at this time. I'll give you an opportunity to step up.
Chairman Hill, members of the board, thanks for this opportunity to speak in front of you today about the investment analysis TM for the Satellite Water Resource Recovery Facility project. My presentation can be broken down into three main categories. First, I'll talk a little bit about the project background and overview. I can probably rush through that given the excellent description that John just provided. Then I'll go into the details and the results of the investment analysis and then wrap up with recommendations and next steps. A little bit about the project background. As you well know, there's a need for a redundancy project at the existing wastewater facility to provide additional reliability and an enhanced level of treatment to meet possible future permit conditions. Additionally, the member agencies of the district have experienced very variable water supply reliability in this recent drought, and it's really highlighted the need for more resilient water supplies, which recycled water could potentially provide. And then third, there's been permitting challenges that have made it difficult to implement recycled water at the existing facility. So the scope of this study was to look at potential recycled water plants at a remote location, as John described, upstream in the collection system and outside the coastal zone. So all three of those factors really combined to create this project, which was the evaluation of a satellite water resource recovery facility. And as I just described, it has benefits of being located outside of the coastal zone in close proximity to ag operations for potential landscape irrigation reuse. And there's the potential that it could reduce the size of the redundancy project that is envisioned for the primary wastewater plant. To look at this concept, the district and the city of Arroyo Grande collaborated to pursue a recycled water facilities planning study grant. And as John described, that makes them eligible to receive 50% matching funding from the State Water Resources Control Board to help fund the study. I put this graphic together just to sort of provide an overview of the whole project and then to illustrate where we are. But it started with the development of a grant application that was submitted to the State Water Resource Control Board for their review and approval. It was approved. Once approved, that initiated the investment analysis. And so the investment analysis was really envisioned to be the first phase of the recycled water facilities planning study and to be a high-level overview analysis of the concepts being evaluated and whether or not they are cost-effective for providing recycled water supply. And so that's what we're here to present today, is the results of the investment analysis. Following that would be the completion of the entire recycled water facilities planning study, which looks into quite a bit more detail the different elements and aspects of a project of this type. So the investment analysis. As I mentioned, it's a preliminary evaluation of potential satellite water resource recovery facility locations and different beneficial reuse options. It also was designed to allow us to estimate potential reductions in cost for the redundancy project that could be associated with the development of a satellite facility. It allowed us to compare the unit costs, or dollars per acre foot, of the satellite recycled water options with other potential supplemental supply options that have been studied for the South County region. And then finally, it allows us to develop recommendations for proceeding with the full recycled water facilities planning study. So included in the investment analysis, we looked at five different alternatives. Two of the alternatives looked at using treated water from a satellite facility for agricultural irrigation, and then three of the alternatives looked at groundwater recharge. And these alternatives looked at both different locations along the trunk mains that the district owns and operates, and also different beneficial reuse types. The flow rates at the locations that were evaluated range from approximately 500,000 gallons per day to 1.5 million gallons per day. As you move closer to the plant, flow rates go up as you serve a larger area within the collection system. Also included in this table are estimates of the yield from the project in terms of acre feet per year, just to help with comparison with other projects and then distribution system requirements. here's a map that illustrates the two potential agricultural irrigation alternatives that were being evaluated. The blue squares on the map represent the connections to the trunk lines, and then the purple and the blue, it's a little hard to see on the screen, illustrate the agriculture areas that could be served by those facilities. Alternative 2 has a much larger flow rate, as I mentioned, further down in the collection system, and serves a larger service area. This map illustrates the groundwater recharge alternatives. Here we looked at a location up by Arroyo Grande High School, Alternative 3, a location further down by Arroyo Grande Creek, and then Alternative 5 down closer to Highway 1. The dots on this represent potential recharge locations, either through surface recharge in Alternative 3 or injection wells in Alternatives 4 and 5. At this point, these are conceptual. Obviously, additional hydrogeologic analysis would need to be completed in later stages. So the findings. For this study, we put together estimates of capital cost, which ranged from 38 to 100 million, converted those into debt service costs, so to look at sort of an annual payment. Additionally, analyzed O&M to develop a total annual cost for each of the alternatives. Then combine that with the approximate yield to ultimately generate the numbers that we're trying to get, which are the unit costs. What is the dollars per acre foot for these different water types? And so the unit costs for these alternatives range from $2,100 with the large-scale ag irrigation upwards to upwards of $7,500 for one of the smaller groundwater injection projects. Using those estimates of reduced flow. So the concept is that, you know, if you're scalping water from the collection system, that ultimately will lead to a reduction of flow coming to the wastewater plant, which it could lead to a reduction in the size of the redundancy project. So this table we use to analyze what that reduction could be and what its potential implications to the cost of the redundancy project would be. And without going into all the details, we estimated that the redundancy savings at could range from 1.2 million to about 5 million for the redundancy project, depending on the size of the satellite facility. These savings were then incorporated back into the cost estimates for the different alternatives to see if there was a significant reduction in unit cost by applying potential savings from the redundancy project. And the results of that show unit cost ranging from $1,900 an acre foot to $7,200 an acre foot. So the upshot is by incorporating the potential redundancy cost savings, you could save up to from $100 to $400 per acre foot on your recycled water supplies. Then the results of that study were compared against comparable or alternative supplemental supply sources that have been analyzed here in the South County. We looked at previous studies done for the implementing recycled water at the South San Luis County Wastewater Plant, which showed a range of unit costs from $1,000 to $2,000. Approximately for ag irrigation and groundwater recharge. The Lopez Lake Spillways Project, which the unit cost of $1,300. Desalination, around $3,000 per acre foot. And then potential state water, which range from $2,000 to $2,600 per acre foot. So the conclusions of the investment analysis were that a satellite project could produce recycled water with the unit cost that's in the range of the other potential supplemental supplies being evaluated by the South County agencies, and that there is potential to realize some savings from the redundancy project. However, they don't significantly reduce necessarily the unit cost for the satellite facilities, but do provide some savings. So the recommendations at this point would be to, given the competitiveness of the satellite unit cost, to proceed with the completion of the full recycled water facilities planning study, and additionally to include an additional alternative that hasn't previously been analyzed. Previous studies of recycled water in South County have looked at upgrades to the existing wastewater plant. This study will look at potential satellite facilities located in the upstream collection system. A third alternative that's been brought up and has some potential merit would be to utilize treated effluent from the existing wastewater plant, but deliver it to an off-site advanced treatment facility that could then treat the secondary effluent to tertiary or advanced treated standards for beneficial reuse in the region. Some of the benefits of this concept are that the advanced facility would be located outside the coastal zone and so not be subject to the significant permitting hurdles of potential upgrades at the plant. There's an opportunity for reduced infrastructure requirements. You still get to take advantage. You get to leverage the existing primary and secondary treatment capability of the existing plant, and then add on additional treatment from there, whereas with the scalping facilities, you need to provide primary, secondary, tertiary, and advanced treatment all together, and so there's an additional cost associated with that. This concept could potentially provide regional opportunities with a project that Pismo Beach is evaluating. They're looking at an advanced treatment facility as well. And really one of the main benefits is that it provides future flexibility. As the district evaluates opportunities for recycled water and the member agencies look to develop more reliable supplies, by including this alternative, it'll really sort of set the bookends of the opportunities that are available. Upgrades at the existing plant, upgrades in the collection system through a satellite facility, or a sort of a hybrid option is an off-site advanced treatment facility. And with all those options being evaluated, the district and the member agencies can make the best decisions for moving forward. So the schedule for the remaining elements of the facilities planning study would have a sort of a conceptual alternatives development workshop in December. That's followed by an alternative screening workshop in January, moving into a draft facilities planning study in March, and then a final in June of 2016. We'll be looking for opportunities to streamline that schedule, leveraging really a lot of the work that was done in the investment analysis. By putting together cost estimates and conceptual alternatives, that sort of gives us a leg up and it allows us, I think, to beat some of those targets. So with that, I'll turn it over to questions to the board.
Director Schultz.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hill. Dan, you had put some costs up there initially. I'm just curious to know, how do those costs that you showed on the screen compare with other facilities? Because I think one of the alternatives was the two ag irrigation, which put my glasses back on.
No problem. So these costs are the costs for this?
Yeah, cost per acre foot.
Okay.
Is that the one with redundancy savings?
It is.
Yeah. And before it was what, 2,800?
2,800 for the small scale ag irrigation.
What, 21?
21 for the larger.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious. I mean, I see these costs, and when I think of not only new facilities, these seem a little high to me. I mean, am I off base here or?
No, you're not. It's scalping facilities are typically more expensive than upgrading an existing wastewater plant to provide recycled water. primarily because you have to provide the whole treatment process at a scalping facility, whereas if you do an upgrade, you have a lot of existing infrastructure that you can utilize, and you really are only adding on the advanced treatment processes.
Okay, and then when you go forward with redundancy savings, it goes down to the $1,900 per acre foot, which still seems to be a little higher. Are there other opportunities for savings that you would think along the way?
Yeah. I mean, this initial investment analysis was a high level. I mean, it's basically a tenth of the scope of the full recycled water facilities planning study. Mm-hmm. And so we would, moving forward, look at it in much more detail and look for ways to optimize cost savings.
Okay. And then you had talked about an off-site advanced water treatment facility. Is that the one we were talking about, collection at the plant and then taking it up? So we really haven't had a chance to take a look and see what those numbers and the costs.
We haven't. That option hasn't been studied, but talking with John and others, we thought that this study, which is being grant-funded, was a really good opportunity to evaluate that concept and provide sort of, like I said, that bookend, a number of alternatives.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Those are all my questions, Jim.
Dr. Lucy, any questions?
Well, I first want to thank Arroyo Grande for stepping up to the plate and supporting, you know, this feasibility study. I think that was really in good faith. It seems like we're kind of putting Band-Aids everywhere, and I was wondering, you know, your study shows that it is feasible. Is it cost-effective? Well, you know, that's kind of, in the long term, it could be cost-effective. In the short term, you know, and you use the term scalping facilities, where I think that we're interchanging satellite versus scalping.
I apologize for that. It's
right,
too
right.
common.
No, I think that's fine. You know, I'll go with scalping. You know, that's cooler. What I'm thinking is that maybe there needs to be a collaboration for the South County. You know, because if you're talking about doing a satellite, you're talking about doing a redundancy program, Mr. Chairman Hill has pointed out, you know, that the state's coming down. They're gonna want reclamation projects. They're gonna want people to deal with the fallout line. Our plan is old, you know, and maybe I don't know if this study could accommodate or be a kickoff to maybe a larger regional project. You know, just kind of plant the seed there, because it's a lot of money, and we're always going to have to pay for services. I understand that, you know. We're always going to have rate increases, and we're always going to have toilets flushing and water running. So, but it's just a matter of being wise about how we spend that money, and I'm not quite sure fragmenting them out is the answer. I like the study.
It gave us all exactly
what you'd set out to do, to see if it was cost effective, if it was doable. So thank you.
Yeah, a couple of comments. One that I should mention that I should have included here is, so these cost estimates were done assuming a 5% interest rate, which is a pretty conservative. Well, in this current climate. Right now there is, as many of you are well aware, significant funding available for recycled water projects, both through Prop 1, but other funding sources, and opportunities not only for grant funding, which would significantly just cut down the capital costs or allow you to mitigate that, but also for low-interest loan funding, even as low as 1%. And so if you were to apply those assumptions to the cost, they could go down pretty significantly. And then to your other comment with regarding regionalization, one of the reasons we included this additional alternative is it we think it provides an opportunity for that. As I mentioned, Pismo Beach is evaluating a project and could potentially be looking at an off-site advanced treatment facility as well. And so there could be an opportunity for both wastewater plants to coordinate and realize some potential additional economies of scale, which could further reduce costs.
Thank you, Daniel.
So your the capital costs just for the there's different capital costs for just the scalping plant idea. Is that based on the location of the plant or?
It's capital costs are primarily tied to size and level of treatment. So as you can see, alternative two is 1.5 million gallons per day. Alternative one is I believe 0.5. And so you can see the capital costs go up significantly. You realize a little bit of savings, as I mentioned, economies of scale, but still you're pretty small relatively to some of the larger facilities. And then as you get into the advanced treatment, that's when the capital costs really go up even further because you're adding on additional treatment processes, membrane filtration, reverse osmosis.
Do we have capital cost estimates for the off-site advanced treatment where we would be using the existing facilities to provide the treatment that we already get, but we would move off-site then for the advanced treatment?
We don't at this point, but that would be goal number one of the next phase of the study, would be to bring those in so we could have those to compare to these costs and then also the costs previously completed looking at advanced treatment at the existing wastewater plant.
Mm-hmm. And that would have the potential advantage of being able to share with Pismo Beach because their treated stream comes through our effectively through our plant property to the outfall.
Yeah. So Pismo's vision currently, and it's still evolving, but it's would be bringing either highly advanced treated water down to the sort of southern region of the northern cities, or bringing secondary treated effluent and then treating it down in this region. So yeah, there are opportunities to potentially combine those projects.
Okay, thank you very much. With that, we've finished questions for staff. Is there public comment on this item?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and respectfully, I think we've talked about this before. This is a water supply project, and why your district has budgeted $40,000 for the study. Number one, I think I would bow out now, pay Mr. Heimel services rendered thus far, and if Arroyo Grande wants to go forward with a water supply project, let them fund the rest of the study. Let them fund the project. This Oceano's not going to benefit from it. You have all the water sources you need. So Oceano ratepayers are paying for this right now, and
Chairman,
they shouldn't be.
I ask that the public speaker not speak on behalf of that regional area. She doesn't know what the people of Oceano
I can say whatever
are.
I want, Ms. Lucy.
Yes.
Okay?
Please continue.
I can say whatever I want.
Please continue with your comment. I don't want to have a discussion.
Right. So
this
please ask her
period,
not to
not
interrupt me.
Not discussion period.
And what I have said is that Oceano would not benefit. Oceano already has lots of water, and Oceano certainly cannot afford to pay. Mr. Heimel suggests that reducing the cost of the redundancy would be something that we could possibly realize. You have chosen a rate structure for a project with a project description that you just sent to the Coastal Commission. If that project is changing, what you're asking your ratepayers to pay for is going to change. So I caution that direction. What I understood is that because the sewer flow concentrations would be greater, there would actually be infrastructure at the plant that then would need improvements. So I think any savings to the redundancy project would be lost by improving the other components that would have to step up their game to treat less water, more pollutants. I don't even know how this really helps Grover Beach. So I think, again, you're the sanitation district. Whatever flows come to you is what affects you, not the water supply side. Go home to your own districts and talk about water supply and paying for it from a water supply approach. With regard to regional, I'd say jump to that project. Jump to the Pismo regional project. Let's talk about that. Let's benefit the whole Northern Cities management area. These consultants are getting rates over. They're being paid by Pismo for their study. They're being paid by you guys for this study. There's public grant dollars on the line. Me as a taxpayer am paying those public grant dollars. Let's get to the real possibilities with a regional approach. If you're looking to acquire 100 acre feet or 1,000 acre feet, Oceano's municipal supply is leaking approximately 100 acre feet a year. If you fix that system for a mere $2 to $5 million, there's 100 acre feet back on the table. Phillips 66 is using 1,100 acre feet a year. If they took your wastewater instead of pumping the groundwater, that leaves 1,000 or so acre feet in the ground a year. The state water, the Lopez water that you're paying for, is much less expensive than any of this recycled water. And has anybody had a preliminary conversation with the farmers? Because from an irrigation standpoint, I know in Los Osos, our farmers don't want our sewer water. And we are domestic supplies only. We will have very high quality wastewater. And it will be treated to Title 22. But we don't have any industry. We don't have what you have in South County here in our wastewater. And I think the farmers in Morro Bay actually are interested in the water out of Morro Bay because they have thirsty avocado crops. But there's nobody doing it. No farmers are taking recycled water in this county right now.
Thank you. Any other comment?
Debbie Peterson, Grover Beach, and I had just a couple of questions, and maybe they were answered, but I'm wondering what is the difference between the amount that could be recycled? I know it was 400, they were talking 400 to 500 acre feet if we do the satellite plant, but what is the amount that could be recycled if we were to recycle from our sanitation district plant? And also, I was not entirely clear on what was the benefit to our redundancy project if we were to combine the two projects at the main sanitation district existing plant?
Thank you. I'm not completely clear on those myself. Any other comment? Okay. Hearing none, Mr. Heimel might address that last comment. And I would expect that we haven't exactly studied those sides of the coin yet.
First comment would be our question about the total amount of recycled water would be available if we did the plant. Let me give myself some numbers to reference here. So at 1.5 MGD, we would have 1,600 acre feet per year of water available. So if we were to look at plant flows, which build out, I believe, previously was 4.2, but now we're looking more around 2.1, I believe. So maybe around 2,000 acre feet per year of water available under current flow conditions. That could potentially go up as if there's growth in the system, but with recent conservation and efforts and long-term behavioral changes, it may stay at these levels, similar levels. And then the second question was a good one. What would be the benefit of this sort of new alternative looking at off-site advanced treatment facility to the redundancy project? And there wouldn't be a savings to the redundancy project as was associated with these satellite facilities. However, there could be a benefit to an off-site facility through implementation of the redundancy project. The advanced level of treatment that the redundancy project could provide would provide a higher quality effluent or source for the advanced treatment facility and potentially reduce costs of that facility. So you would be taking advantage of that additional treatment.
Thank you very much. Okay. Back to the board for comment. Director Scholes.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Hill. I think there was a question about had anyone talked to the ag community, and I don't know, since this started prior to me coming back onto the board, does anyone have a response to that?
I can speak to that. Through some of our efforts with the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group and through Zone 3, both of those agencies are entities, partnership groups have initiated numerous meetings, workshops with the ag entities to talk about water supply and reliability. Obviously, the ag folks are very interested in groundwater conditions and also releases from Lopez Reservoir. And so they have been very supportive and helped participate in some efforts by the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee to look at potential supplemental drought supply options and helped rank some of those options, which included recycled water. Recently, there hasn't been a recycled water-focused meeting, but, you know, the advancement of this project, the advancement of the Pismo project would provide a good opportunity. And based on our interaction, I think the ag representatives would be very open to that.
Okay. And then don't leave yet.
No.
I know there were five alternatives, and they all still on the cost per acre foot seem high to me. But there was a question about how Grover Beach would benefit. So are you able to respond?
Yeah. So the governance or beneficiary structure from these projects is still being worked out. You know, when you're looking at a groundwater recharge or an ag delivery project, I mean, every pumper in the basin benefits. If you're able to offset pumping, you're reducing the risk of seawater intrusion into the basin, and that is helping protect each of the agency's supplies who all rely on groundwater. And so from that perspective, I think everybody sees the benefit and is working through equitable partnerships to make sure that everybody's compensated equitably.
Okay. And then one of the benefits you identified was if we were to move forward with a satellite facility, that it could have a beneficial impact on the redundancy project, and specifically you talked about a reduction in size, but have you been able to quantify the cost? Because I know that this board, I believe it was about a $19 million project, so I'm just wondering if that was quantified.
We did. We did look at that. That was part of the study. And I kind of glossed over this in my presentation.
Yeah, I know.
So it may not have come through. But so we looked at it, and this was, granted, a high-level simplistic sort of evaluation. But we looked at, okay, if we're diverting the satellite facility capacities in the second column there, if you were to divert that much flow from the plant, you could theoretically reduce the size of the redundancy facility an equal amount. And then we then developed updated estimates for what the redundancy project would cost at that reduced flow rate. And we tried to bring in, instead of just making it a linear relationship, we tried to bring in cost curves for similar facilities and apply those to estimate the savings. But the results are the far column on the right sort of show the preliminary estimates of potential savings to the redundancy project.
Okay, that's on the far right.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Okay. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Kurt Galusi.
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank the public speaker for bringing up the issue of Oceano's leaky pipes. We did just receive a grant for $200,000, part of that being to fix all our pipes in town. So we're very, very happy about that. Half of that money goes to another project, which is a reclamation, and I can't really speak to that because I don't know the whole details about it. But I want to thank you for bringing up the issue of our leaky pipes. The amount of how much they leak, we're not quite sure of that yet, but it's certainly not that much. Oceano does have a vested interest in this project, and it doesn't always come in the form of a raindrop. You know, sometimes it comes in the form of supporting your community and supporting your geographic area. And if, say, for example, 2,000 extra acre feet for the South County, you know, say one of our neighbors runs short, you know, something happens, you know, they hit a dip in one of their wells or something. For us to have the ability to step in and help somebody like that, I think that is a benefit to us. We look at our neighbor up on the Mesa, and you know, they need help. They need water, and so they would be one of the areas I would strongly encourage trying to pull in and collaborate with. Dividing and conquer is not going to cure us, and it's not going to take our thirst away. You know, people speak of the redundancy program, absolutely right. You know, it's like free falling with a mortgage without insurance. But how do we best put that redundancy into play, and how do we maximize what we can out of it? Is it in a satellite? Is it in the main plant? Is it in injection wells, or is it in irrigation? So I don't think anybody knows the answers to that, but I have to say that from Oceano's point of view, we do have a vested interest in keeping the South County as healthy as possible, and it's really all of our jobs, you know. And as much as we bicker and fight, you know, with each other, I don't think that any of us would really turn our backs on each other and walk away. So, you know, you could laugh all you want, but, you know, it's just how we feel about it. But our pipes will be just fine soon.
Okay. I guess my concern on it is that the charter of the district is for wastewater treatment rather than supply of... I think the comment that was made that the water purveyors need to be brought in on the thought process here is a good one, and hopefully we could get in a regional collaboration going among the various water entities. Kind of seems to me that this district should be focusing on redundancy and you know, maintaining what our primary obligations are first, while we would certainly participate with the water purveyors. I'd like to see more input from the various water purveyors and water supply agencies. So that's...
Director Hill, can I ask you a question?
Please.
Don't we have the water? isn't it our 3 million gallons that will be going into the injection wells? I mean, isn't that kind of the plan that we would be supplying the sewer water?
Depending on that, yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure I had it right.
So our proposed action on this then is to...
Yeah, may I? Thank you for those comments, Chair Hill. I will say I do have concerns with the study, and it's really because of the resulting dollars per acre foot that I keep seeing up there with the alternatives are pretty high, and you heard me say that earlier. I was trying to reconcile in my mind, is it worth an investment of $37,500 from the district, and I know the city of Rio Grande, would that be realized in the redundancy project? But then you realize you still have to build a satellite facility. So, I mean, I agree with your comments. I'm not, you know, I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I certainly in a drought, we need to look at all options. But if that's not part of our core mission, and if you representing a community was willing to contribute half or a large portion of this, I'm fine if we don't want to move forward or put this on hold until we can investigate more of the regional approach. And I think Ms. Tacker had brought up this potential Phillips, and if there's someone that can look into that and see if there is possibilities, I'm okay with that as well. So I think whatever we do, we should look into that. I think that is a really good idea that needs some further investigation. But as this stands, as I look at the numbers, cost per acre feet to go through this and still be paying such a high number, I'm not comfortable at this point.
And I'm not adverse to the idea of doing this, but I think at this point we need more input from potential users, potential water supply agencies.
I agree with that.
So would I assume that maybe our next step would be to facilitate getting water purveyors? I don't know who else, because, you know, engineers, you know, Mr. Gehring in here. I mean, I don't quite know how you would go about coordinating that and pulling it together. I think there's a lot of entities that would actively want to be involved. I mean, we listen to the surf riders come in at least once a month, you know, talking about our fallout line, and all of us are fully aware of that. And last meeting you pointed out that's not going to be happening forever, you know, and that's just to summarize what you were saying. So I think it would be in our best interest. We have the preliminary data. Is if we took it just a step further and maybe directed staff to bring, you know, the entities in the South County together to talk about how to move forward. And I think that it won't be a sand district project. I think it'll be a regional project that the sand district was key in helping create and foster along. So
I agree with that. I think for example, Pismo Beach is probably you know, certainly a player in the area that would be interested, and you know, I think a regional approach with our member agencies and the other affected agencies would be probably a next important step. So do we want to receive and file or consider something, some other action going forward?
I'd like to see an action. That way ratepayers don't feel like everybody, policymakers don't feel like they spent like $60,000 with grants, which, you know, they don't fall from the sky. They do come from our taxes, you know, that do something with the study. So I make a motion that water purveyors and interested parties in the South County come together and see what they can do. I don't know how to word it.
Okay.
So, it's not my field.
So maybe the motion is that we table the study for now, give direction to staff to contact water purveyors, and that would include the various municipalities and districts, and then find out what they're doing, and then also maybe contacting, I think I said Phillips 66 and others, to see if there is a potential opportunities, and then report back to this body. And I think I had asked a question about ag users as well. So maybe we just need some time to investigate that further, come back in a couple of months. Might be the way to go. So maybe that's a motion.
It's okay. So I'll withdraw whatever ramblings I had. So would it be fair to say January to bring it back up on the agenda? You know, put enough feelers out there and get a core representation.
Yeah, I would say the second meeting in January or first meeting in February, because I think we have a pretty busy agenda in January, maybe. Yeah. So. Okay. So that's my jumbled together motion. Sorry, folks.
So your motion is to bring this back in probably first meeting of March, last meeting of February, first meeting of March.
Time. Yeah, I think that time frame. I think this gives us a chance to get additional information. I think there's been some very good comments made here tonight, and I want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence. Okay.
Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we provide that direction to staff. Do we need a roll call on that?
We should do a roll call.
Let's do that then, please.
Okay, Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chair Scholes?
Yes.
And Chairman Hill?
Yes. At this point, the next item, I think we have some additional reports for the public and for staff, and so I request a 10-minute break.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're returning from the break. Thank you. We're on item 5D, which is member agency billing contract. Superintendent Clemens.
Yes, on this item, staff is recommending that the board consider its billing options for service and authorize the acting district administrator to execute billing services contract with the member agencies according to the formula adopted by this district's board at the meeting of October 21st. 2015, specifically a $15,000, no greater than a $15,000 base plus 25 cents per connection per billing cycle. During the October 21st meeting, the repeat board meeting, the board of directors directed staff to seek a billing agreement with each member agency with the cost of billing not to exceed $15,000 annually plus 25 cents per account per cycle. Staff has contacted each member agency with regard to entering into separate but identical billing contracts with the sanitation district. We spoke with the city manager of Grover Beach. We spoke with the city manager of Arroyo Grande and eventually spoke with the general manager at Oceano CSD. The city manager of Grover Beach and the city manager of Arroyo Grande both agreed. There's no contract signed at this point, but they both agreed to the terms of the contract. Under the proposed formula, the district would pay Grover Beach a total of $22,000 annually, that being $3,700 per two-month billing cycle based on a number of 4,800 connections. The district would pay Arroyo Grande a total of $24,750 annually. That would be $4,125 per two-month billing cycle based on a connection number of 6,500. The district would pay Oceano Community Services District $18,000 per year, for example, and that would be $3,000 per two-month billing cycle based on 2,000 connections. The number of connections for each agency were derived from the recent study conducted by Bartle Wells and Associates. I just called Alex over at Bartle Wells, who we saw at our last meeting, and just asked him how many, based on his research, how many connections each agency had. And that's where we got those numbers from. In the fiscal year 2014-15, the Sand District paid the following member agents, paid the following amounts to member agencies for billing services. We paid, in the fiscal year 2014-15, we paid Arroyo Grande a total of $12,033 for billing services for the year. We paid, the district paid Grover Beach $20,000 for billing services for that fiscal year. And we paid Oceano Community Services District $22,000 for the year, that fiscal year. Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach also collected new connection fees on behalf of the Sand District during that time period. And I was supposed to say at the beginning of this that I'm going to go here, I'm going to go through the through this background and discussion, and then Jenna's going to partner with me on this because the contracts are, it's been a bit complex because we're working with three different agencies. So when I get through with the discussion, and Jenna's going to take over and discuss it, the literal contracts. Okay, going forward, the Oceano Community Services District has not yet agreed to these terms. At our last meeting, during the discussion of the issue, the director representing OCSD stated that she would take the terms back, the terms of the motion back to the board of directors. Subsequently, the Sand District's interim district administrator notified OCSD general manager of the offered terms via phone call. The general manager at OCSD stated that he would need to present this offer to his board. It was too late to get it on that agenda, so he would need to present it at their first meeting in November, which we weren't sure about a date because they're typically on Wednesday, and the 11th would have been is a holiday. So I'm not sure if they scheduled it for the 10th or the 12th, but I'm just not sure when they scheduled. But anyway, he'd take it to his board during the first meeting in November, and he also noted that the Oceano board had already passed a motion authorizing billing charge of $15,000 annually plus 57 cents per account per two-month billing period. The total annual cost to the Sand District as proposed by OCSD motion would be $21,840 or $3,640 per two-month billing cycle based on the 2,000 connection. Under current practices, billing services by OCSD cost the Sand District $3,666 per billing cycle. Currently, we would have to notify OCSD prior to the billing cycle and notify them that we need their services. If OCSD cannot come to an agreement with the Sand District Board can direct staff to directly mail out bills that can be either bi-monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, or annually. Payments would be accepted by check or money order only. The Sand District has no mechanism for accepting cash payments, so it would have to be check or money order. Any unpaid bills or returned checks will be considered delinquent at the end of the fiscal year and submitted to the county tax collector for processing. In that case, those charges would be charged to the parcels. The cost of this scenario would be approximately $2,000 for each time we have to mail out a billing. There would be no additional cost for parcel identification, mainly because the district's already in the process of doing that because we're going to the county tax roll for our regular billing. Collecting and recording payments will require an additional staff time and efforts and costs. And then staff would also need to open a separate bank account which to deposit checks in case checks are not honored or returned. We don't want that in our regular account, so we leave it in those accounts until they were cleared. Once the check's cleared, the fund could be deposited into the district county account. And the staff is still investigating any direct costs associated with actually placing delinquent bills on the tax roll. I haven't gotten the details of the delinquent bill on the tax roll thing, just that we could. I actually called down and spoke to staff at the county regard to this, so we're in the process of investigating how we can do this. Staff could have the necessary information to begin the process by the first week in December. And speaking to NBS, who does data processing on behalf, I just asked them how soon they could have the information we would need to bill, and they said, right around Thanksgiving or right after Thanksgiving. So we could begin actually mailing out bills by the end of this month, potentially, or certainly by early next month. Although this is not being offered as the only solution, it is the simplest and least expensive solution available to the district in the event that agreement cannot be executed with OCSD. We've investigated a lot of options. This seems to be the simplest to the district. We investigated making a lot of accommodations, but ultimately, if the district has a bill with the resources we have, this would be the way we'd have to do it. Again, if we're billing internally. So, also one more point: the district began the fiscal year with $581,000 available for contingency. We haven't used any of that. So the contingency funds are still available and can be applied to operation budget in the case of an interruption of revenues due to uncollected fees. With that, I'll pass on the contract information with Jenna.
So hopefully everyone has had a chance to review the contract. We apologize for not getting it out ahead of the board meeting tonight. And although we understand that the contract is intended to be a short-term contract, we've tried to draft as thorough and complete a contract as possible since we realized that the member agency billing issue has been such an important issue, at least during our duration of representing the district as interim general counsel. Regardless of the draft status, and you will notice that there's a big draft stamp across the contract, and there are some areas within the contract that where additional details are still needed. The key terms are included in this draft, and so I wanted to just run through those quickly, and we do not intend those to change. So one of the key terms is that the member agencies would bill for wastewater collection and treatment services as well as new connection fees. A second key term is that SLOST would agree to pay the member agencies an annual base fee of $15,000, which would be broken into equal annual payments plus 25 cents per account billed. The term of the contract is indefinite, and that was done purposefully just in case the billing did not get put on the county tax roll. We wanted to make sure that we didn't end up in the same position as we are today. However, there is a 60-day termination clause without cause. So for any reason, either party can terminate this contract. Based on the current draft that we've presented to the board, part of the recommendation is that the board authorize the acting general administrator to work with the newly appointed, district administrator, to work with the newly appointed legal counsel to finalize the details with the different member agencies, specifically a lot of the billing processes and timelines. The different agencies appear to have different timelines for billing or have expressed an interest in having different billing schedules. And I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Questions of staff?
Jen, and thank you for that, because I think you definitely answered the three questions I had written down, because I was going to get clarification on short-term why it was written this way. So I think that's good. I also want to say that I think I want to make sure that we – there was a question as to and I believe that Oceano is going through their proper procedure. I'm not going to tell them how to do business. And if I don't know if it's coming up on a meeting in the future, so maybe Director Lucy can help fill that in if there is a meeting coming up on this soon. Other than that, I don't have any other questions at this time.
Director Lucy, questions?
I just wanted to give everybody a chance to say their piece. I probably could have saved you this contract because, I take my job very seriously as an advocate for the residents of Oceano and for the ratepayers of the sanitation district. And I do my homework. I do it differently than other people do it. But I feel that this issue has turned into a political issue, not a fiscal issue. And I'm going to start with Grover Beach's minutes. This is your minutes from your last meeting, signed by Mr. Perrault. And this is where Mr. Perrault and Arroyo Grande have come to agreement that $15,057 per account is acceptable. And I have those minutes available to you if you'd like to look them over. This is a supporting document. I also have a memo from Ms. Malicott from Arroyo Grande, who I've done seen nothing but excellent work come from her desk. And the three directors, as we had directed them, discussed the finances. And in here, she writes that 57 sounds okay, 42 is more reachable for Arroyo Grande. Now, Grover Beach starts off with 57 cents. Arroyo Grande comes into the picture with 42 cents. Oceano, from day one, has been 57 cents. The last time we came to this board, we'd taken it to our board. Due diligent, we had brought in sample contracts. When I read the Grover report, it clearly states that Arroyo Grande and Oceano are on the same page. And Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande are on the same page. But we come out to 25 cents. So I have no idea how 25 cents got thrown on the table, but I have no analysis to back it up. It's not complete, the analysis that was given. So the email from AG supported 42. Somehow, when the two entities got together, it was dropped down to 25. So as a representative for the community of Oceano, I want to do what's best for our geographic area. I want to do what's best for the residents of Oceano. And if the sanitation district can provide this service for $18,000 a year, which I have the memo from you stating in your staff report, that you can do it for $2,000 a month if Oceano, I mean per pay period, that you can do it for $2,000 per pay cycle. Oceano can't do it for $2,000. We can do it for $3,666. So for the sake of argument, for the sake of drawing this out any further, we really do want to move on. So I would strongly recommend that, well, first of all, let me back up a little bit. The motion that was made at our board, right, is that the sanitation district, if they were interested in going into a contract with Oceano, then a contract would be delivered to us by the 15th. So it could be on our agenda, and it would be for, it would be today, actually. Is it the, no, today's the 4th, excuse me. That's right, by 5 o'clock today, the contract was to be there. Okay, so we received no contract. We want to see the sand district move forward. I really strongly encourage this board to make a motion for Arroyo Grande in Grover Beach and have the sanitation district, if you can do that billing for that amount, we support you in that because, you know, it's about what's best for the ratepayers and your reduction is, it's, I can't argue it. So, you know, please. There's another thing, too, is that I'd like to clear up is that in the Cal Coast News article, Chairman Hill had stated that that Mr. Ogren had arbitrarily increased the amounts of these fees, and that simply is not true. These fees have been in place since 2012. Mr. Ogren was bought on last year. So if you'd like copies of the article, I have that as well. But I think the main thing is that you can blame me. I've been on the board long enough. You can blame others. But you know what? To do a character assassination of somebody just because they've taken a leadership role is just wrong. And so, I'd really appreciate if people would leave Mr. Ogren out of it. He didn't have anything to do with it. He takes direction from the board. And we had directed him, and these fees were in place for a long, long period of time. So on that note, I would really recommend that you make a motion, leave Oceano out of the motion, and we can move forward.
My question is on the 411 annual base fee. Should be $15,000. It doesn't talk about proration. I presume that we would put in some kind of a sentence there continuing it, that the annual base fee should be prorated from the date of acceptance, or?
So that was inherent in this statement, because if it was prorated we can definitely add that sentence. My thought was that it would be divided into equal annual installments. So if it was divided for $15,000, let's say it's divided into six installments. I can't divide $15,000 by six in my head, I'm sorry. But then that would mean only $2,000 or 1/6 of the $15,000 in each installment. So it would sort of negate the... But we can add that sentence in there as well.
That would be $2,500 per... bi-monthly installment, if my math is correct. I note that the rate of 25 cents per account per billing period, that's kind of based on the idea, again, of bi-monthly billing or every other month, so six times a year, which is the traditional method that all of the member agencies have used, is they bill every other month. So I think that's OCSD bills every other month, Grover bills every other month, AG bills every other month, so that's a common feature. I also note that none of our agencies currently have a contract, which I believe is a requirement for the relationship that the member agencies should have with the sanitation district. So this would finally bring a contract arrangement to the table. So are there public comments on this item?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I like Plan A, and that's that the district do the billing for Oceano, because clearly we've wasted enough time waiting for Oceano to come up with an equitable solution, and they're not willing to budge off their number. And I do blame you, Mary. You betcha.
Great.
Because you gave direction to Tom Gieselin to go get more money out of the Sand District.
Let's for direct this.
You know, Jim, she gave you a long history and revised it to her liking. I'm going to give you a little history, too.
3 minutes.
It's at the discretion of the chair, remember? So, you directed Mr. Gieselin to go get more money from the Sand District, and at one point, he extorted money from the Sand District by holding on to the check and not passing through the money to the sanitation district. So that's why we're in this mess. Grover Beach, the council, did not agree to $15,000.57. They did not. They stuck with their terms from previous billing. Mr. Scholes suggested the 25 cents. You were sitting right there. Mr. Scholes came up with the new formula at 25 cents. Mr. Hill agreed that Arroyo Grande, because they've only been billing $12,033 for so long, certainly could come down that little bit. What I don't have an answer to, and I again blame Mr. Ogren, is what the heck is a $15,000 base fee? There's nothing in there that itemizes what that makes up. I don't want to send you back to the drawing board, but you are an enterprise. This fee has to be broken out somehow and justifiable. So I still have a problem with that. When we get to the contract, 60 days is too long. Because they are billing in two-month cycles. You need to be able to get out at 45 or 30 when it gets closer, when you decide, before they gear up to send out the bills again. I think 60 days is too long, because you would have to know with a full billing cycle ahead of time that you're going to implement the 60-day rule. I think that's too long. And as far as the past bill that's outstanding in Oceano, I would recommend that you bill it as soon as possible. Just the past due. Get that on its all by itself, on its own, $29.72. Recover that money. From henceforth, bill quarterly. Saves the money. Then they pay $45 roughly for 3 months' service. It's not no longer tied to the water bill. It really doesn't matter. But save yourselves the $2,000. Spread that out. get more mileage out of that billing.
Patty Welsh, and again, I am a ratepayer. Mary Lucy's right. When I went to Grover Beach City Council meeting, your council, Mr. Scholes, said 15,025. So where all of a sudden we're getting 15,057 cents boggles my mind, because I was at your meeting. I listened to them when you recused yourself. The only other thing I have to say, 60 days and out seems perfectly reasonable to me. That's all I have to say. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Comment on this item.
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer. I can't decide what's my least favorite topic to discuss at these meetings. Is it the ongoing litigation that we can't get out of, or is it this ongoing drama with billing? Thank you, Director Lucy, for releasing us and the ratepayers of this district from what I feel has been an extortion attempt to the ratepayers of this sanitation district. I, too, am not in favor of this base rate. Arroyo Grande has been billing these invoices, which are just a line item on an already existing outgoing invoice. We are not adding extra postage. It's one line item. Okay, this is not meant to generate funds for the cities doing the billing. And to take Arroyo Grande from 12,000 up to 15 plus 25, 57, whatever you want to add on to it, those pennies are irrelevant. I mean, I understand Grover Beach going from 20 to 15 and then adding but I never understood why Grover Beach, as a percentage of the sanitation billing, why their fees were higher anyway. To me, we can't get to this tax roll quick enough. Please get us on the tax roll ASAP. We have spent way too much time and money on this. It's like money down a gopher hole. We're never going to see it again. And, I mean, unfortunately, this is an ugly thing that we've had to go through to get to this point. But Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach have been billing and have continued to bill without a hitch, without a contract. Let's just get it done. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment? Okay, hearing none, back to the board for comment or a motion.
Go ahead, John.
Well, I'm sorry. It's probably one of my least favorite topics, too, just so you know. Yes, there was an accurate portrayal. The meeting that I recused myself from, I know that the council had a discussion, and I was able to take a look at that later. And where I came up with this formula was in Grover Beach's itemization from prior billing, they showed where basically their fixed costs were closer to $15,000, I think, than was obviously represented to the council. Now, I'm not criticizing anyone over there. I'm here as a board member, not as the mayor of Grover Beach. I'm talking. So when I made that suggestion, it was as a board member of this entity trying to get some resolution on this. Understanding this is short term, understanding there has been a direction from this board to move toward the county tax rolls, and that's going to take time, that this is done in the spirit of trying to bridge the gap. And I will tell you, I didn't recuse myself last night. The Grover Council did not take a vote, but the city manager did, in fact, inform the council members of his conversation with Mr. Clemens and what he had agreed to, and I believe they all nodded. They all stated their support of it. So, and I also want to say that, Mary, thank you for your comments tonight, because the truth of the matter is, if we can do this for less money, and she's correct, if Oceano can't do it for that amount of money, then maybe that's the direction we need to move into. So I'm prepared to make a motion that we pursue this contract with the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, and I respectfully, I'm not trying to pick on anyone, that we pursue billing for those customers that are not covered by those two entities. So that's
not to exceed $18,000.
That was my motion, and we'll see if there's a second.
Well, I'll second it for the sake of discussion.
Okay.
You know, but our understanding is from the staff report that Mr. Clemens created that the billing could be done for $18,000. Period. And so if it's going to exceed $18,000, then we need an okay. explanation. Secondly, so I'm going to read a paragraph from Ms. Malicott to Mr. Ogren and Ms. Chapman. Okay? And this is dated September 2nd. To that end, I'm thinking that something like $15,000 per agency for the base fee plus $2.50 per account. These are annual numbers. At 2,500 accounts, roughly estimated for OCSD, this would be an annual fee to the SAND district of $21,250. At 4,800, roughly Grover Beach's estimate, it would be $27,000. And for AG, at 6,500 accounts, it would be $31,250. Then I would propose that an annual increase every year by some sort of CPI factor. That is not an Ogren memo. That is originated from Arroyo Grande. Okay, so I just want to be assured, and I too okay. listened to Grover Beach's tapes and got your minutes and everything. So
I tell you what, enough. So I would let me modify my motion to basically say we'll direct staff to do the billing as long as and not to exceed $18,000. Is that $18,000? Will you second that?
Yes.
Okay.
But clarification, it's not stated anywhere in here that we could do it for less than $18,000. That's not what's in the staff report.
Well, then I would suggest, based on this vote, then if it's going to go past that amount, then you come back and report to this board. For the sake of moving us forward tonight, there's a motion, there's a second, and Mr. Chair, unless you have any additional discussion, I would suggest we vote on this and we move on to other business.
Only discussion I have is this is, again, troubling to me also and has been from the beginning. I support your motion with some reluctance as the in deference to the speakers who've reminded us that we're an enterprise operation, as are all of our member agencies. I would request that the same offer be made to Oceano to be considered by their board out of courtesy to the residents of Oceano. And then OCSD's board, of course, would be able to vote it up or down at their discretion. But I would like to see the same offer be made there. I think the...
Can you clarify yourself? The same offer that you made for AG?
That has been subject to the motion and second.
So my feeling is an offer has been made to Oceano, and apparently a decision has been made, so I don't think we need to go any further. I have asked numerous people regarding the issue of the enterprise funds, and I have the information I'm getting is different than what one of the speakers here has been reporting. So I don't know if we want to have legal counsel or someone talk to that issue.
All right.
That would be even better.
Let's have a roll call then, please.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Scholl?
Yes.
Chairman Hill?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we?
Okay, for clarification, are we going to send the offer to? Okay.
No.
Okay, thank you.
I believe you've already made the offer, so we're done.
And we countered, and we're done.
Can we get a little bit more clarification?
So, you're doing the billing.
In terms of, so Chairman Hill did suggest one change to the contract that will be sent to both Arroyo Grande and Grover Hill. Is that part of the motion?
If as long as it clarifies that it is to be prorated, I'm fine with that. Because I think you're right. There is an inherent proration in the way the contract's written. But if it further clarifies it, have at it. But we're done.
The main thing is that it's not to exceed $18,000 to bill for that geographic area.
Okay, I think we've provided adequate clarification for staff. And we can move on. And miscellaneous items is miscellaneous.
I think, Amy, do you need some clarification?
It's not Amy. It's Jenna. Well.
Let me restate the motion, and we can see if that is the motion that we think we are moving forward with. That we submit the draft contract with the clarifying proration language to both Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande, and that the sanitation district go forward with billing for the Oceano service area, and if those billing costs are to exceed $18,000, they need to come back to the board.
That is correct.
Okay.
Well stated. Thank you. Moving on to item 6A, miscellaneous oral communications. Mr. Clemens, anything? Any written communication? Hearing no written communication, I will ask, first of all, counsel to introduce the closed session, and then we'll have public comment on the closed session.
The council is adjourning into closed session to discuss two items, conference with legal counsel for existing litigation pursuant to paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code, two cases, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus the State Water Resources Control Board, and the second case is South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District versus the Special District Risk Management Authority.
Thank you very much, and I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the board. Thank you for your services as legal counsel in the interim, getting us through this period. We much appreciate it.
And I would echo those sentiments. Thank you, Jenna.
Are you doing public comment?
Yes. Is there public comment on the closed session items at this time?
Last time up here. With regard to the South County Sanitation District versus State Water Resources Control Board, Jenna said, you just got married, so I don't know if you have a new last name. That's why I hope you don't mind if it's informal in calling you by your first name. The Downey Brand firm is your special counsel, and she said that they are in the midst of filing an amended complaint. It occurs to me that the last several meetings where this has been discussed, there's been no reportable action. I would think that filing an amended complaint would have been a reportable action. Just saying. The other question I had was raised earlier when you hired Stockton and Trujillo. It'll take me a while to get that one. Will you continue to need the services of special counsel Mr. Seitz and Ms. Downey Brand? And hopefully we can let those folks go and invite our new counsel. I don't know entirely what their expertise is, but I hope it's settling with the water board.
Thank you. Is there any other comment? Okay, just for clarification of the contract, my understanding was that when we engaged permanent counsel, that Mr. Seitz's services would no longer be needed as the go-between with the special counsel that the district has in litigation. So with that, we'll move to closed session.